Danny J.
And I'm Jill Coleman.
Welcome to the Best Life Podcast.
Here we talk about everything from success, money, relationships and entrepreneurship, to productivity, honest communication, positive psychology, and how to cultivate an abundance mindset.
Make money, travel the world, deepen your relationships, live full out.
This is the Best Life. Oh man.
What are you laughing at?
Nothing that we're like, okay, let's, there's the post that we saw. So let's do a whole episode on this one tiny idea. But you know what though? I'm really proud of us because we do end up having a lot to say about some of these things, and whether people want to listen to all the things you have to say, it's a different matter. But welcome to another episode of the Best Life Podcast. Thanks for being here, y'all. We're excited to chat today a little bit about body image, influencers, working towards the body that you want, and what else?
Well, that working towards the body you want, and I also want to touch on some unhealthy body image stuff. These are always good episodes. People really love the body image and the food stuff. So, you know, whatever we have to say, y'all can decide for your own.
No,
selves.
I like it. We did an episode, a couple weeks ago? That was just basically like how we've changed how we're exercising as we're getting older. And that was a great episode. And I was like, yeah, things have changed. I don't know about you, but I definitely feel like over the last, like for whatever reason, right around 40, they always say it's right around 40, like just things started falling apart. Not like bad, like bad stuff, you know, like not injuries and things like that, but like just skin changes and little weird aches and pains, like not full on injuries, but just like some noises coming from the knees. Like, like I'm not in pain. I'm just noticing a lot of snap, crackle, and pop.
Yeah, the check engine light starts coming on.
It does. And you're like, you know, I'm just going to ignore that for a while. We'll see how far we get. I always tell Shantae, I'm going to like, I don't like, look, do not do what I do. Just do what I say. Warm up, cool down, do mobility, foam rolling, do all the things. I so far have not had to do too much of that, but I'm sure at one point, at some point, I'm just going to like break in half. Like, I'm just going to be like, that's it.
I just went to Yosemite this weekend with a girl, and it was funny. I was thinking about you so much because we were going on this hike and we were nearly to the top and she wanted to turn around. And I was like, okay, but it's like right there.
Oh no.
And she was worried about her knees, and these other girls were coming down, and she goes, well, you can just go on. I go, well, it might be another hour. I couldn't tell how far. Right. So I was like, it's going to be like another hour. I don't want you to wait for me. So I asked these girls coming down. They're like, no, it's like 15 minutes. Just keep going. So they convinced her, thank God. And it was funny because before we even got to that part, she needed to stop and stretch a little bit. And then when we were done, she just was like really tired and wanted to rest. And I wouldn't even say she's out of shape, to be honest. She's like, she's not overweight. She's in decent shape, but not like Jill fit kind of shape. So I was just thinking how different it would be if I went with you. We'd probably do that hike, and then you'd probably go to town and still go to the gym afterwards.
I'd be like, we're back at the campsite. I'm like, all right, let's do a no body, no weight workout, like 100 burpees for time.
And I'm like in the middle of you too. I was fine with resting. She got kind of sick, so I had to walk to town by myself to get medicine, and I did like 22,000 steps that day. So it was a good amount of walking for me. But
you know, there are definitely some changes that happen for sure. And it's, I think, you kind of just have to listen to your body more, you know, whereas before just like push through, especially, and it's just, if you're not used to doing it, right? Like when was the last time she hiked? It sounds like maybe it wasn't recent. So I'm sending out all these workouts right now for this new program we're launching called Lean Building, and having people test out the workouts, and people are like dying. I mean, these workouts are tough because they're so simple. I mean, you know my workouts. It's like five movements, like the whole thing. And they're just like, God, I thought I was in shape. And I'm like, you are in shape. You're just not in this shape. Like it'd be the same if someone's like, if I tried to do a marathon training program, right? I would be dying because I just don't do long duration cardio. So it's just what you're used to. And so, you know, she's probably in great shape doing yoga or something else that she does that I would actually just die doing. It just really depends on, I'm lucky because I just program the workouts I want to do.
Well, you know what it was really, was it that was, she was struggling so much was she was like you said, listen to your body. She was worried about the way down because of her knees. Cause
yeah,
you know, like uphill, sometimes it's hard on your lungs, but the downhill really could fuck your knees
totally. And ankles. So, yeah. It's a lot harder on the joints. So
she was like, ooh, how much more are we going steeply up? Because that means I'm going to have to do it down. And luckily it was a short, but I was going, if Jill were here, she'd come finish this hike and then she'd go to the gym still. So anyway, I had to, all my friends are so different and just in such different spaces. And I just, totally. It's but yeah, we wanted to talk about this body image stuff. There was a couple posts that I had sent to Jill last week. And one of them in particular was a woman who posted a before and after picture. And the before was 2 weeks after her baby, which I only found that out through reading her replies back to comments. She looked
like normal. Great. Yeah.
She looked
like lean.
A person who hadn't just had a baby. So that was kind of shocking. But the second picture, to me, in my opinion, she looked emaciated. It was a side photo. So you could see her waist from the side and it was sucked in. And she's dieting for a show, and she has a show, I think, in a week. So you can already imagine she's super, super lean, but it was like an extreme, you know, probably taken first thing in the morning. She hadn't had much food, but it looked very extreme. And so I sent it to Jill and I was just kind of like, dang, this looks, you know, I don't even know what I said. I just like,
it looks like this looks like ED.
Yeah, yeah. I said it looks like ED. And then there were only a couple comments at the time I sent it to you, maybe like five, and they were like fire emojis and this looks great. So I was just kind of like, huh. Maybe it's just my opinion. And then by the time you responded, the comments had gotten a little out of control. And a lot of people called her out saying, you know, you're an influencer and you shouldn't be sharing this. And this is very extreme. And she was kind of defensive and going to bat saying she worked really hard. And I remember being in that space when I was competing. And sometimes people were like, you know, the eat a cheeseburger people. And you're like, you're just in your mind, you either think they're jealous or they're just not disciplined enough and they couldn't do what you're doing. And that probably is true. And then there's also some truth to maybe they're a little right. Maybe you don't look healthy. And then I saw comments, same picture, where some people were like, hey, who's your coach? I want to do that. How do I get this small? And so I had these feelings around the whole post on, is it our responsibility to share that? I mean, is it irresponsible to share that where it looks like an eating disorder? Is it encouraging eating disorders? Is it okay to get a body that you want, even if it is extremely small or you're going to extremes? Do I need to know whether she knows this is sustainable or not? Is it even my job to say, hey, this isn't healthy? Personally, it's not my job. I don't think I needed to make any comments. I let the internet do that for me. And I just like to read them and like them. But it was just interesting to see it, especially because I haven't seen this in a long time. I don't follow competitors really anymore. But it was interesting to see the commentary. And so we wanted to have a conversation around like, are you allowed to look how you want? Are you allowed to be smaller? I know there's this conversation around the anti-diet and just not being smaller and going against that too and taking up more space. So just thought we would talk a little bit about body image again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a good one. You know, what I have been seeing quite a bit, and I don't follow a ton of competitors, so I'm not sure, but the ones that I have followed or that I've seen on the Explore tab tend to be like more elite competitors, right? They're doing national shows, they're pros, like, and whenever they post a picture, most of the time, I would say like 90% of the time that they post a picture when they're like clearly getting up on stage in like a week, they always tend to say, this is unrealistic. Like I always see them say that. They go, look, I'm a week off from a show, maintaining this is unrealistic. Like, and I do feel like that's such a service because when you and I were competing, there wasn't social media to like, all we saw was magazines and most of the girls in the magazines were weeks out from shows. So it was just normalized that you should be able to get that lean and then stay that lean. That was where a lot of my personal shame came from, where I was like, why can't I just keep this up? Like, it looks like everyone else can. Why can't I? So to see these elite level competitors gain weight in their off season and do it in a healthy way and do it in a way they still look shredded and fit and lean and athletic, I feel like this is a massive service to the industry. And so I actually see more the opposite of people saying, you know, hey, this is unhealthy. You know, I'm slashing calories. you know, I wouldn't recommend this for anyone in terms of like this being a sustainable solution. And I really appreciate some of those disclaimers because, yeah, like if without any sort of context, someone who, I mean, you and I kind of know because we've done this, but like someone doesn't know the competitor space, they might just think I should be able to get in that kind of shape. It's like 10% body fat. And yeah, stay at that. Y'all, you're not having a period. Like your hair's starting to fall out. You're having massive GI issues. This stuff is really normal when you get that lean. And then when you step off stage, you slowly add the weight back to a healthy weight where you're having your menses and like all of these things are back online. So I kind of said to Dani, you know, it's obviously her prerogative, but I also feel, and I still have people who come up to me and ask me this, and maybe you do too, where they say, I really want to do a show, but I know for you, you've shared so much about how terrible it was and, you know, how much you were obsessed with it and all these kind of things that went wrong as a result of you doing it. But I want to do one. It's on my bucket list, but I'm scared. And I always tell them to do it. Like to me, I'm just like, you should do it because if it's on your mind, if it's something to do, you should have the full experience. There's way more resources for how to do things safe now than when you and I did. So I'm like, yeah, just be careful of the people that you're listening to. Be careful of the people that you're following. Make sure that you're having someone or you have a coach or you're following people who encourage a reverse diet, who encourage you to come, you know, bring your weight back up slowly. Like, there's so many more healthy resources, I feel like, now. So I think do it. I think have the full experience. Unfortunately, I do think this woman that you sent to me probably will learn the hard way, like most of us do. You know, at some point we're going to see her a little bit heavier. She's going to probably say, yeah, like, you know, my hormones were fucked. Like, she's just going to say that. And whether that's in 6 months from now, a year from now, or 5 years from now, that message is coming because that's most competitors.
I agree with you. So one of the things that you pointed out was these elite competitors are sharing that this isn't sustainable or kind of a normal day-to-day thing. One of the things is she's newer, so she's not saying that. And that was in the comments. Some of the comments were saying, you need to let people know this isn't sustainable. And she was kind of defensive going like, well, I've been doing this. It is sustainable. And my exact thought was what you just said was, we'll see. Let's just wait. It's going to be 6 months from now. It's going to be a couple of years from now, but she will, like, it's almost inevitable. If you're dieting for that many years or shows back to back and you're not training, you're not like recovering well, you're going to have this pendulum swing. And so again, I go, it's not my job to tell her, look what happened to me. It's going to happen to you. Right. I'm not going to pass that for her. And I think when it happens, hopefully she's able to get through it faster, find the resources, because people like us have shared things that have happened to us in the past, or there's coaches out there that deal with this now. So, you know, I agree with you, like let people have the full experience. It's not my job to police it. I think though it is, I don't know if it's irresponsible because it's her journey. I think we can get really wrapped up in, especially when you're competing, in doing this for the show, and it's a very slippery slope and very, very slowly turning into eating disorder mentality where you stay like this or everything has to, you have to stay lean or you're measuring food, where you started as a bucket list and like, great, do this goal. And then it turns into something else to suddenly you feel like you were in control of your food and now your food and your workouts are in control of you. And it's really hard to see that line and when it slips and when it shifts. And then now you're suddenly, your life revolves around these training, around your meal plans. You're finding yourself cranky all the time. You're missing social events. You're, you know, cranky to your partners or your kids because they want more time from you and you need more time at the gym. And at that point, you have to look at, was this a bucket list or did it somehow take over my life? Mm-hmm. And again, to the point, we have to let people have the full experience. You know, I'm here to talk about how to get through that, but it's sometimes hard to see and watch it kind of happen and unfold.
Yeah, it is. You know, I do think that people have their own journey, and I feel like at least now it's so much more acceptable to be honest about, you know, weight regain and hormonal issues and ED and stuff like that. I feel like it's so much more acceptable to kind of talk about. It doesn't feel like super taboo. It's kind of like, okay, yes, this is, a lot of people are experiencing this. I know you and I both, when we first started talking about some of the disordered eating and all the kind of things that we went through, people were like, thank God. Like no one else's, they were like, there was this sense of relief of I'm not alone. And so I do think that it can be a service if we kind of do that that full turnaround. This is also similar to last week. I had posted on Threads, you know, my favorite platform, photos of Threads, like a side-by-side. And the first side-by-side was actually not when I was in show shape, but I was getting ready for like a series of photo shoots, and it was 2010. And I had been doing so much cardio at the time to get ready for like four or five shoots in a row. And I was really skinny. And I remember at the time thinking I looked really good. My arms were so thin, but I was miserable. I mean, like literally, I'm like thinking about food like 95% of the day. It's all the worst things. And then the side-by-side, the like sort of after picture was just from last year. And I said, in 2010, I ran off all my muscle to be smaller and feel worthy. And then I got back to my bodybuilding roots in recent years, and I rebuilt my body at 40 years old. And it was kind of like a picture of me looking now much more muscular, much more healthy, things like that. And a lot of people were like, oh, I love this, whatever, like, you know, whatever. It's not about do you look better or worse, right? It's just like it is what it is. But someone actually responded and said, I'm going to run off all my muscle and keep it off. And I just wrote, everyone has the right to work towards the body that you want. Like, okay, cool. That's someone else who's saying like, I don't like my muscle. I don't want to have muscle on my body. You know, when we get into talking about lean, you and I just went to, we went on a snowboarding trip with Allie Gilbert, who is in like physique development space. She works with a lot of men. She also works with some women on like helping them like build muscle, burn fat. And she's in her 40s and she's super lean, but she has also a lot of muscle too. So I think that if you are going to, you want to get really lean and like that's a goal of yours, you need to make sure that you do have muscle, because there's something that's going to help your metabolism. It is that, you know, and the woman you sent to me last week, I mean, she's just really thin, you know, like not really muscular at all. Just, you could just tell she didn't really have that much muscle to begin with. She just dieted and now she's really skinny. Versus like Allie, she's probably, you know, probably like 14, 15% body fat year round, but she has so much muscle and she eats a ton of carbs. She's not slashing her calories. She's doing it in a really healthy way. So I think if you do have a body change goal or you want to lose body fat, you probably need to make sure you need to build muscle a little bit first, because you'll probably end up losing some if you decide to go into a deficit or start to diet. So I just think it does keep your metabolism a little bit healthier if you have more muscle mass.
Yeah, a lot of people fall into this trap where they say, and my dad did this, and I hear it a lot from old clients too. They're like, I just want to lose weight first and then tone up.
Right.
So they think they just do the cardio, lose the weight first, and then they get the muscle. And it's kind of like when I was doing money stuff where people say they want to get out of debt first before they invest in, you know, a program to teach them how to get out of debt. I'm like, well, you kind of have to do one before the other, or you don't have to
do both at the same time. Yeah.
It's like, you can do both at the same time. It actually would be more beneficial to you. And it's going to be harder to, quote, lose the weight first and then build the muscle after. So you might as well try. And to be honest, you'll probably lose the weight faster while you're totally building muscle, at least lose body fat. And this is what's so tricky about scale weight too, is you can have a huge body composition change and have the same exact weight, but look completely different. I had a couple friends in the last couple years who went to Mexico and did lap band surgery. And one of them, she was messaging me and she was just got like, my scale weight hasn't changed. Like, I haven't lost any weight in the last couple of months. And I found a picture on like my Explore tab, actually just happened to pop up, probably because Meta was listening to that conversation. But it was a perfect example that I sent to her, where this gal, I think, also had gastric bypass surgery or, you know, lap band surgery, 2 years apart, same exact weight, but her body looked completely different. Where what the first picture, she was just kind of, I want to say a skinny fat, kind of just not toned, had a lot of like overhanging skin. And then the second picture, very tight, very compact, a lot of muscle, looked like you would have thought she weighed 25 pounds less, but she weighed the exact same, because how muscle changes your body composition. So I'm really big on like taking photos and putting them side by side instead of looking at the scale weight or taking measurements, because scale weight does not really show where you're at as far as body composition and how you look. And sometimes losing the weight first before you, quote, build the muscle is a bad idea, because you get used to seeing that low number on the scale and you can never really get that muscle that you need to really protect yourself to help your metabolism, and you just end up worse in the long run.
Yeah. It was funny. I actually posted something on Threads too about that the other day. I was like, who cares what the scale says if you like the way that you look? I've always weighed like 20 pounds more than most of my peers just because I've always had a ton of muscle. And so I just kind of got used to not really paying attention to the scale because I kind of like knew it didn't really, like I never really felt like I could compare it to my peers, at least growing up. So I kind of wrote it off very early. I was like, oh, I just have a lot of muscle. That's why. And someone responded and goes, well, who cares what you look like? Your body's a vessel. And I was like, I think you want to like what you look like. Like, you don't have to be skinny, but like, do you like how you look? Like, it doesn't matter what size you are. It doesn't matter what the scale says. As long as you, I'm like, I feel like it doesn't matter what you look like. You don't even need to like how you look. And I'm like, yeah, you do. And also, yes, your body does do amazing things. And yes, you can move it in the way you want, and you can get strong, and you can run, and you can jump, and you can be athletic, and you can do all those pursuits performance wise. But, you know, like, I don't know, I like to look in the mirror and be like, I like how I look. And so it doesn't matter necessarily what the scale is. But I get that sometimes we have to go to, okay, it doesn't even matter what your body looks like, it's what your body can do. And I'm like, yeah, I think that's probably like a third iteration. And I think a lot of people who have kind of overcome their own body insecurities have gotten to the point where they're just like, actually, I value so much more the fact that I can lift weights and I can still run and move in the ways that I want to. Who gives a shit? Most people, you know, at that level aren't even getting on the scale. They're just like, whatever. My clothes fit. I'm good. I like the way I look.
Yeah. I actually, I'm not sure if I agree with you on it does matter how you look. I think it depends. I think some people really don't care. I think it really depends on how you grew up, what your aptitudes were, and what you were maybe praised for when you were younger. So I feel like there's some kids who were like never cute or never praised for how they looked, and maybe were really good at music and or singing, and like their voice was the thing. So they just, their physique or how they looked was kind of just like a side thing. I think in general, as women, we get it just whether it's from our, you know, growing up or from society. So I think in general, like we have, women tend to care at least a little more. I think a lot of guys probably just don't care, given by how they show up and how they take care of themselves.
Well, also, they have other things that they're putting their affirmation eggs in different baskets.
Yeah. Like, I think they legitimately don't care. I'm like, and sometimes I wish they would a little bit more, but so much. Fine. It's not for me. I don't need to. Yeah. You don't? That's fine. I don't need to worry about being attracted to you. But I, you know, I think there's levels to it. I do think there's, we can put way too much emphasis on it as given by our society. And there's something recently I saw a post. I don't know if you've seen this, but it's been happening for years. Surgery for men to make them taller. And they will basically get their legs broken and like stretched apart. And then the bones have to grow in between to make them grow. I mean, to get this height. And I don't know how many inches they can add, like 2-3 inches. And I saw a video that someone stitched on a reel, and it was this guy relearning how to walk. He had this waistband and a harness from above, and he was just like struggling to walk. And I go, holy cow, this man has to relearn how to walk because he broke his own legs so he can get taller.
Wow.
And so the commentary was like, what do you think of this? And of course, there, a lot of women were like, well, women do it all the time. Everyone was sad, and it looked really sad. Like, holy cow, he is going through these huge extremes so he can have a few inches in height, because we know that a lot of women want taller men. But is it any worse than women doing plastic surgery, changing their faces, getting implants, getting, you know, a BBL done? So it was interesting to read the comments about it, although I did think it was very sad and extreme. And I mean, if you are an athlete, that's going to be really hard to get back after basically breaking both your legs. I don't know if you ever can play sports the same way again, but
yeah, that's really interesting. I mean, a lot of, yeah, I didn't even think about it that way. It seems extreme, but then I'm like, oh yeah, women do this shit all the time. Yeah. Like BBLs. And I mean, how many people do you know? I mean, I live in LA, like pretty much everyone has a boob job here. A lot of BBLs here too. Yeah. I mean, and that's, you know, I mean, you can't lift for 6 weeks and you have to be in bed for a time and you have to recover and all that kind of stuff. So yeah, I mean, in a perfect world, would we all just be happy with what we've got and be good to go? Yes. But I do think that, you know, coming back to the original conversation about that original post, I think as consumers, we just need to really be aware of what we're taking in on social. You know, luckily we're women in our 40s, but like, you know, teenage girls are seeing that stuff and, you know, they don't really have a filter. And for a lot of at least younger girls, probably they're still thinking smaller is better, thinner is better, yeah, skinnier is better, no matter what the consequence. And that's why this woman, this post that you sent me, I do think, you know, she's going to have her own journey or not, you know, whatever. It's, again, it's no one's business, but I do think that I think it's impossible to be that skinny and not have some kind of something happen at some point. Now, I hope that at some point she'll decide to share that with the world and that I think that could be a really nice educational sort of turnaround for her and for us. But, you know, I just think that we have to really filter through when we're seeing some of these images and ask ourselves, like, is that healthy? One. Two, is that sustainable for me? You know, I just read something the other day that was like, people covet the outcome, but they don't covet what it takes to get there. And not to like, you know, not to like edify this like super, you know, extremes, but I think for me and you, we kind of know what it takes and it's just not worth it anymore. You know, like you and I have been that lean. We could do that again if we wanted to, but why would we? It's like, it's objectively worse. like being leaner and skinnier and like being so obsessed with your body and obsessed with food and living at the gym is objectively worse than just being 15 pounds heavier. Like, honestly. But I do think that a lot of people have to go through that themselves to get to that, what's it called? Summary.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I don't have any more to add. I just think we have to go back to being careful and just watching and being mindful of who we follow and what we want and why do we want to be smaller or skinnier or leaner or any of those things, and just running it through your own filter system and seeing what really feels good to you. So,
yep, exactly. All right, y'all. Well, that's all we got for you today. Thank you for being here. And if you have not left us a rating and review, we would absolutely love that. Just go to wherever you are listening to this podcast, leave us a 5-star rating and a couple sentences to review the podcast on what you love about it and why you like listening. It just is a huge favor to us and we always love reading them. Thank you guys for doing that in advance. And if you've been a longtime listener, it's about time you left a review. I'll just say it. Anyway, y'all are the best. Thanks for being here. We'll see you on the next one.